We had a church. Well, when God called me to preach in 77, and I told him, you can't mean me, I was a drug dealer. And then he said, Harvey, you're not only going to preach, you're going to preach to and train ministers. My whole Christian life, for 35 years, has been training people for ministry. All five of our married kids have a ministry mindset. They minister all the time. Doesn't mean they're perfect. See, what you need to understand is that every one of us is a sinner. And before you come to Jesus, you're a sinner without God. And then when you come to Jesus, you're a forgiven sinner with God. But you still sin. Is there anybody in here who doesn't sin? No, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't get me. Please raise your hand. Is there anybody in here who doesn't sin? Good. I hate dealing with liars. Okay. So I'm glad you're honest. You understand sin? What's the word for sin in Bosnian? Sin? What? Do you know what sin is? Sin? When you do bad things.
Oh.
Lie, steal, selfish, murder, swear. What's sin? Do you know sin?
Yeah.
What is sin? What's the word for sin? What did he say?
People.
Criminal people. Yeah, we got some work. Okay. All right. I got it. Thought we'd get that clear. Okay, good. All right. So we're all sinners, okay? When somebody gets saved and they come from a place of not knowing God to a place of knowing God, the only way that can happen is if they see themselves as a sinner, as a criminal. We are all criminals against God. We break God's laws. No. I do what I want, what I feel, what I think. I'm all full of it. You know, I know everything. The hardest people to deal with are people who know everything. How can you help them? The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge makes somebody just so filled, but they're filled with hot air. Nobody really wants to listen to them. Which would explain why I've experienced a lot of things I've experienced. I want you to look at Luke chapter 9, and I want you to understand a couple of things. We're going to look at Luke. Let's see. Luca. And then we're going to go to 1st Ivan. Ha ha! You didn't think I knew. 1st Ivan. 1st John. Chapter 1. But we're going to start in Luke. Chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. A church is a hospital for sinners. A church is a hospital for sinners. If people don't go to church, one of the reasons is some of them don't think they're sinners. They don't need help. One way or the other, they don't need help. So they don't go. That's why God, when you read the Old Testament, The majority of the world was going to hell. The majority of the world did not know God. God raised up a people through one man, Abraham. Called him the father of faith. His friend. And said, I want to raise up a nation, a people that believe in me, that will reach all other nations. They took God's rules, the Jews took God's rules, the Hebrews, and they made an exclusive club. Have you ever gone to a church where you felt there was cliques? I'm sorry? Okay, because I can't hear your heads not, you know, rattle when you nod. I'm just looking. I'm trying to help you. That's what you also do with your kids, Nate. You get them to answer when you talk to them. You say, I can't hear your head rattle. Please answer me. He does. And all three of his kids are in church, so he must have done a good job. Okay? So I'm glad to hear that. Yes. He had to bring them here to fill them up with some love and compassion and stuff here. So anyway, and strengthen a little backbone. Okay, so anyway, God had one man believed in Him. God raised up a whole nation and said, out of that man, and said, I want you as a nation to reach the rest of the world to bring them to me, God said. They missed it. They turn it into a club. We got all these rules. You're not one of us. You're no good. They missed it. They did not have God's heart. All they had was rules. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Like religion versus relationship? God is all about relationship, not of rules. The rules are important. The rules protect us from one another. The rules make it so that God can bless us. Because we want to go and do what we want and then ask God to come over here, step outside of His rules and bless us. And then we wonder, have you ever said, why does this happen to me? If you could hear, you'd probably hear God very kindly say, do you want a list? Not because He's mad or angry with you or disappointed, but because it grieves Him. Do you have kids that get outside of your rules? And they're still your kids and you love them. Can you just like cooperate by paying attention here and not do your own little thing here, guy? You know. Now watch this. I have to shoot somebody. So watch this. It's called placement. Okay. Now, so here we go. You love that child. But it grieves you. It breaks their heart. It hurts you deep inside. Your guts ache at times for the choices that you see your kids making. The older they get, the more responsible they get. And it hurts you. It just... And you think, I'm terrible. I was a terrible parent. I've done everything wrong. No, as they get older, they become more responsible. And we need to learn to teach them how to make decisions while they're still at home so they can make mistakes. When they make, you know, give them some chances. See, my kids had a hard time making choices because I was making them all for them. I know y'all have a hard time with that, but I was controlling. And I know, you can't believe it, but I'm telling you the truth. And it was hard for my kids. Need some water, brother? Okay. It was hard for my kids. But when we tried to, because Sue, I had a balance. See, God put this balance in my life called Sue. And He helped me to understand that she was smarter than me in discretion. What other words do I want to say like that? Wisdom. balance. I don't know what all the words are, but she's smart, common sense. I might have this real high IQ, but not real good on common sense stuff sometimes because I'm a little bit overboard in emotions and opinions. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. I might not be hitting the nail squarely on the head, but I know I'm hitting that thing. Okay, I'm very overboard, okay? That dude just drove in. Okay. Now my point is this, is that we need God's heart. We need God's wisdom. And for our kids, and you can see it with your kids, that it hurts you when as the older they get and they make choices, we tell them, you can make your own choice here. And then they make the wrong one. And we try to say, well, can I just tell you? And of course, you know, they're teenagers. They know everything. You know, I don't know why God doesn't turn the whole world over to them when they're teens, you know, because they know everything. You know, the rest of us know nothing. Because I can remember being a teen, and that's exactly how I thought. I thought, why don't they just let me run the world? I know it all. I'm telling you the truth. You don't even have to check out the video. I'm telling you the way it was. And we give our kids choices, and then they make choices. We try to say, could I just tell you? Could I just give you some advice? And they'll listen to you, but they're probably rolling their eyes and looking all over and trying to get around you to, you know, change channel. Back to a video game. And then we watch them make choices and they hurt themselves. But see, that's what this place I've told you from the beginning. This is a training center for ministers. You make mistakes, it's okay. You're making them here. You're not going to have as much devastating effect as when you make them out there. Do you understand? You make mistakes here. Do you know what I'm talking about? You got me? You know what I'm saying? And it's like when you make mistakes, we're here to love you. We're here to kind of guide you on the path. We're here when you go, why didn't it work? I feel like such a failure, or whatever you say. And we just love you back to Jesus and just try to, and when you're ready, because we don't come and jump on you. We wait till you come to us as a rule. Sometimes God tells us to go to you. But you'll come to us and you'll say, why isn't it working? Well, here's what God's telling me to tell you. But we wait until that. Well, we need to do that with our kids. Give them times to make choices. And then while they're still at home, because the payments get heavier when they get outside of home, when they get out on their own. The older they get, the responsibility shifts from the parents to the kids. Well, that's exactly what God does with you and me. God gives us free will. And there's people, most people that die every day throughout the whole world, most people go straight to hell. A Christless eternity. Have you ever wondered why you could find people that are really not godly that live older, and people that are godly sometimes die younger? Have you ever wondered that? Part of the answer to that is in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is not willing that any should perish. Perish is like, what's that stuff called? Lettuce. That if you let it go, you know, like you leave it outside the refrigerator or something, or if you even leave it in the refrigerator and forget it's in there, after a while, it starts getting brown, then after a while, it gets slimy. Oh, good. Let's eat some salad, right? That's perishing. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God allows us to make mistakes, allows us to make our own choices. And it breaks His heart. And He can't bless sin. And we keep doing these things, and He's like standing there just like begging you. And He'll pursue you with kindness and love and have people in your life that do things that you don't even understand. Why would they help me? Why would they love me? Why would they pray for me? Why would they give things to me? It's because God is in them and God is reaching out to you. But we get to make our own choices. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he, Jesus, should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans, which were half Jew and half not Jew, to make ready for him. And they did not, the Samaritans did not receive Jesus, because Jesus' face was as though he would go up to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this," these are the close followers of Jesus, right? The ones on the inner circle, Glenn. "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, burn them up, even as Elias or Elijah did in the Old Testament?' And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." There's a number of things we can learn here. I'm going to go over them real quick because that's not my message. But number one, there's timing. When the time was come that Jesus should be received up. See, there's a time in your life for you to do things. And when the time has come, it's like you feel a stirring. It's like Nate up here leading and saying, "I feel like God is doing this," or "I feel like it's time now to stop." There is a time. If Nate just said, "Well, what would you like to do, Spencer? What would you like to do, Jason?" He was not giving God what he wants, and he'd just go on, and it would be like we'd be going, "Hey, this isn't good," because God's not in it. Because God tried to walk this way, and Nate didn't listen. But see, Nate listened and said, "God, what do you want?" So there's always timing. And there's going to be timing in your life for what God wants. Number two, there's a commitment or a steadfastness that Jesus had. It says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? To die. Jesus was heading to Jerusalem to die. And on the trip there, God said, "I want you to go." His father said, "I want you to go to Samaria. In the city of Samaritans here. And when Jesus went there, they didn't receive him. But he went and did what God wanted. But he was on his way to die. And Jesus was committed to it. And he was steadfast. In other words, he was like directing. He's going there. Nothing's going to get in his way. There's teamwork. Jesus sent messengers before his face. He didn't do it all. There's preparation to make ready for him, the scripture says. God is preparing you. This is a preparation place. You wonder why you're here. It's because God's preparing you for what God's wanting to do in you. Don't get ahead and don't get behind what he's doing. Listen to what he's saying. Doesn't matter what everybody else says. You ought to do this. You shouldn't do that. It doesn't matter. Where God is preparing you, God, you will know inside, but the people that God has for your leaders, they will know inside. And you may come and say, because here's what's going to happen, I can already tell you. Some of you are going to come and say, I want to go. And you're thinking you're supposed to run out and go start a church or something, and God's saying inside of us, they're not ready to do that. What they're supposed to do is go start a Sunday school. What they're supposed to do is they're supposed to go start a clothes racks or whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, all that stuff. You see, God will guide and God will confirm through other people. But we need to listen. We need to realize that we're in preparation. I wanted to go a whole lot sooner than God wanted me to go. I said to people, whenever I give my testimony, I said, you know, God had me go to Bible college for 9 years. It was a 4-year program. I crammed into 9. And I say, you know why God didn't let me go sooner? He was trying to have mercy on the rest of the world. I wasn't ready to go. I was already rough as a corn cob when I did go. Can't imagine how many people I would have hurt and stuff if I'd have gone sooner. God has prepares us. Do you know that Jesus Christ Himself, God in the flesh, had 30 years of preparation and then only had 3.5 years of ministry? 30 years of preparation and He was God. He is God. Yeah. Who do we think we are? Nate says. I want you to notice rejection. It says they did not receive Him. Verse 53. They did not receive Him. Why? Because He didn't do it their way nor in their understanding. I don't agree with the way you're doing it. I'm following God. Take it up with my boss. If I'm missing it, ask Him to show it to me. Because He's the only one who can get away with nagging. I can't hear it from you. You understand? Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. The Samaritans, who were half-Jews, said, hey, we don't like this. You're going to Jerusalem. You're just stopping off here. We want you to stay here. We want to keep you as our king. And He says, I can be your king, but I have a mission to go fulfill. I can't stay here. So they said, well, then we don't even want you here. You're not going to do it our way? Leave our house. I want you to notice that His disciples reacted in the flesh. Look in verse 54. When His disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, You want... You know, when they saw it, they reacted in the flesh. One of the things that God told me about 5 years ago, when we were meeting in the other building, one morning before church, God said to me, Harvey, do you know what I'm having you teach the people here at Burning Bush? And I said, no, because I learned when He asks questions, He's not looking for an answer. He already knows the answer. He's just drawing my attention to a subject. So I said, no, Lord, what are You having me teach the people here? He said, I'm teaching you, I'm having you teach the people how to be led of the Spirit. All of our lives we've been led of our head. What do I see? What do I think? What's my reasoning tell me? What's my experience tell me? We've been led of our heart. What do I feel? What do I want? Emotions. God wants us to learn to be led of the Holy Spirit. That means moment by moment, what is God doing? Moment by moment, what does God want? Right? Led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. Romans 8:14. They that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I wonder if that means if we're not led of the Spirit, whose sons we are. I didn't say it. God's leading. Look what, when His disciples reacted in the flesh, look what they wanted to do. Should we come call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and burn them up? God's leading. See, God leads individuals. Abby, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and hunt over here and do it this way, and you can only shoot this kind of buck. God's leading. Just because she gets to do that doesn't mean I get to do that. Do you understand? We don't all do the same thing. God shows us things, like in the Scripture, or other people tell us their experience, because it lets us know what God could do. It doesn't mean that we cookie-cutter it, because God never cookie-cutters anything. Did you ever notice when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus will do things and He never does the same thing twice? Because He's not into just doing formula, you know? like having a line of people walking around, fill, 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 fill. God wants us to listen. Go to pray for somebody. God, what do you want to say to Tom? God's leading. You want me to say that, Lauren? When we were singing, Visitor Tom, I was standing up here and I had a pain in my right knee. And there's a thing called, I think it's called Word of Knowledge, okay? I'm still learning all this stuff, okay? I'm just trying to follow God. And I had this pain in my knee and I'm like, and it was like, oh, it's hard to stand. And I felt like the thought came to me. I said, Lord, why did I have that pain? The thought came to me because of your right knee. And I felt like God said, I want you to lay your hand on your knee and I want you to pray for a creative miracle because I want to do a creative miracle on Tom. Tom may have a lot of issues in his life, but see, God's not just about healing you and then you go back and you live your life without Him. We met this whole community of Bosnians because she has a 2-year-old in the hospital that has a failing kidney and has to do dialysis 3 times a week. And God told us to go and pray for them. We didn't know them. We just went and prayed for them and laid hands. And then we were wondering, because we've seen God heal just like that. Boom, immediately. People were healed of cancer, all kinds of things. A lady had a big bump on her arm. And Sue put her hand, God said, put your hand on that lump. And she just stood there and said, what do you want me to do? And God just said, just stand there. My wife stood there for 45 minutes, not saying anything. The lady's standing up there in front of the altar. And as she did, the bump kept going down, down, down. 45 minutes later, it was completely gone. God can do miracles just like that. But there are some times that God will do something and He heals a little at a time. Why? Because God's after you. Not after just being your little bless me club. Okay? God's after you. And God will touch because God is drawing people. What good does it do if the daughter got healed and this whole group of families that comes here ends up going to hell for all eternity? Doesn't know God. Goes through life, you know, trying to carry their burdens. You're trying to live without God. What good does it do? God is about you. Not just about making you feel good and stuff. God will deal and heal. But God is about you. And you and I having a real intimate relationship with Him. So I want you to notice, God's leading. He leads individuals. Number 2, Jesus, they reacted in the flesh. And I want you to notice Jesus' purpose. He said, for the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus is in the rescue business. And during the time He's rescuing, He's not rescuing people and saying, okay, you low life. Okay, you undeserving wretch. Okay, I'll help you. I'll just bring out you know, sin-scarred scumbait. Jesus doesn't act like that. He's kind. He's gentle. He's compassionate. Why do we go through things we do? Because if God just forgave me of all my sin and took it all away, and I just walked perfectly with Him, guess what? I'd be wondering what's wrong with the rest of you. You know? I'm telling you. I'd be wondering, I'd be thinking high of myself and lower of you. But every day when I'm having to deal with sin, it helps me to be more compassionate, more understanding, more forgiving, more allowing you to grow where you're at. Do you understand? We're going to come to that. I want you to notice there's an individual choice that was honored. Notice the last little phrase of verse 56. And they went to another village. Jesus came. I want you to picture it for you, Abby. Picture it like this. Jesus comes to you as an individual. He comes to you, and then you make a choice. No, I don't want that. No, I want to do what I want. No. And then Jesus, He'll just walk away, and He'll allow you to make your own choices. and live in whatever you're living in, and he'll go deal with another person. Jesus does not grab you by the neck. Jesus doesn't grab you by the ear and pull you along like teachers used to do with me in school. I understand why they did. If I had me as a kid, I would have done a lot worse. Jesus will deal with you. Will you come read my word? Well, it just doesn't work out in my life. Okay. And as Nate would say, here's a postcard. Tell me how that works for you. See, Jesus is just waiting for us. Why am I telling you all this? Because I want you to notice in verse 55, this is the key. Because it has to do with me. Jesus said to His disciples, should we call fire down from heaven? Light up their hindside? Move them to do what they should do? And Jesus said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. Here's my key of this message. What spirit are we doing the things we're doing in? What spirit are we living in? What spirit are we speaking in? My sin. Are you ready? All my life, I've been a very confident person. I got saved, and I just went from an unsaved, confident person to a saved, confident person. And started reading all this scripture, and I read it more than most people, and I memorized more than most people, and I tried to do all these things more than a lot of other people. When I went to Bible college, I tried to find who was doing the best, and I would try to do better than them. And wherever I go, any business I've ever gone into, company, I always tried to do better than anybody else. And many times I succeeded. And what that ended up doing inside of me was pride. You ever dealt with pride? Whenever we judge, I'm better, I'm smarter, better looking, whatever it is, anytime we judge, they're bad, they're wrong, we set ourselves up as God. Because there's one judge, Jesus said. And that's God the Father. And He said, judge not that you be not judged. When we judge, we set ourselves up as God. And God resists the proud. A spirit of pride. God resists the proud and gives grace, His help, His ability to the humble. For the last several weeks, I've been going through, I don't even know what, and this is the best I can understand so far. This is the best light I have so far. I've been going through, I don't even know what. I feel like I'm constantly on the verge of tears. I feel like I'm a failure. I feel like I don't even know. I doubt myself. And I'm out there hunting, and I'm praying, because I'm not getting any deer. I'm not even seeing any deer. And I'm saying, God, I know that You love me, and I know that You could bring deer, and even if there aren't any, You could speak one into existence. You're so awesome. So just speak me a deer, you know, a little bit bigger than Abby's, and bring it in. I know I don't get to go hunt in a deer pool, you know, and just pick the one I want, you know. I don't get to go to the deer supermarket. You know, this time I get a 9-point. Okay, I've had a 9-point. Let's see what a 6-point feels like. Oh, I've got a 6-point now. What does a 3-point feel like? Oh, well, how about if I get 5 in 1 year? Okay, I got 5. I wonder how this feels. I don't know what that feels like. I don't get to go to the deer supermarket. I get to go to the deer desert where... It's like, yeah, it happens. We can't even hear from you. That's all I want you to know. I can't even hear from you. You know? He'd ask no money coming by, you know? So God's I've been feeling like God's dealing with me. The only thing I can get is my self-confidence. Because when I'm confident in my ability or my understanding, guess what I don't do? I don't trust in God, right? I trust in me. Because I know. I've done it. I understand. I got it covered. And I thought He'd already dealt with me on this. And He said, I have, Harv. He said, but there's layers. I want you to turn over to 1 John, 1 Ivan, chapter uno, or whatever it is in Bosnian. Chapter 1. Okay? Who? That's what I said. Yedin. Okay. 1 Ivan. Ivan 1. 1. Chapter 1. 1 John. Chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 5. I love these six verses here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message then. This is the message which we have heard of Him, Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, who's this book written to? Do you know? Us, believers. If we, believers, say that we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, what is the light? Do you know? The Word? What else is the light? God? Yes. What else is light? Jesus. What else is light? What else brings light? What else makes things clear of what's right and wrong? Holy Spirit. What else? What'd you say, Jake? A light bulb. That's good. What else is light? Yes. Uh-huh, that's right. What else is light?
Sun.
Uh-huh, that's right. All of you are right. How about the word truth? Is truth reveal? Does truth make things clear? Can you see with truth?
Yes.
Do lies hide?
Yes.
Do they blind you?
Yes.
So then, truth would be a good light, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, okay, here we go. But if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God. And the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, openly agree, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, that we are not criminals, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. My confession, and what I believe God wants us to understand and realize, what spirit are we operating in? You see, when you come to God, and God begins to open your eyes, and I've done this with thousands and thousands of people, and you're talking to them, and they like it. You're reading the Word. See, the Bosnians are inviting us over to come and do Bible study with them. And we're going to come. We're going to love on them. But when the light of truth, and I'm going to tell them this when we come to their home, when the light of truth that they have not seen or understood before begins to dawn upon them, like you're sitting out there hunting, and the sun's coming up, and the light begins to come in, all of a sudden, it's going to show you what's inside of you that you never knew or you did not agree with. You did not admit. And then you're going to, all of a sudden, all this happy feeling that they feel right now, all of a sudden their face is going to fall. Because they're going to see their sin. Because for us to see Jesus in truth, we first have to see our sin. Because until you realize you have sin, you don't need a Savior. Before then, you just think, because all the other gods are, you just worship them. Give them whatever they want. Give them your money. Give them whatever. Your time. Your energy. That's all okay. God's not about your performance and what you do. God is about who you are. And every one of us is a sinner. And sin separates us from God. And I could be talking to somebody. I remember talking to a Japanese fellow one time. Honored his dad. And we don't realize this because we don't live in Japan. But in Japan, they worship their ancestors. That is their gods. When somebody dies, they go and they take food and stuff and they bow down and they pray and they do all this. And the reason they're so obedient to their parents is because they worship them. We need to obey our parents but not worship them. But we need to reverence them. We need to honor them. Do you understand? No, we're not questions right now. Write them down. That's why you have a notebook. Write it down, please. I'm sorry. I can't do that in the middle of a sermon. Okay? So this Japanese young fellow was a college student. Very brilliant. He was here from Japan. His dad paid for him to go here. And I went and hung out with these college kids on a weekend camping trip. They asked me to go to Wisconsin with them, and we did all that. And the kids would gather around me. I call them kids, you know, the college kids would gather around me. And they would, and I'd talk to them, but if it ever started getting deep, they kind of scattered. But then one at a time, through the weekend, they would come to me with their individual lives that they were afraid to talk about in front of everybody else. They came and talked to me about, I'm thinking I should get married. They're thinking I shouldn't live with this girl. They're thinking, what career should I go after? I'm doing this, but because my dad wants me to, but I want to go do this, and I don't really know God, and I've got sin in my life, and what do I do? And they would come to me with all kinds of things of their life, one at a time. I'd spend about an hour. It seemed like that's just how it worked out. God told me to hang out by the fire. The rest of them kept wanting to go up the mountain. I did it one time. God told me I didn't have to do that no more. Thank you, Jesus. I don't like climbing the mountain. Okay, so when the rest of them went and climbed the mountain, one at a time, these college kids would come to me and I'd talk to them about their life. And it would last for 30 minutes to an hour. And they'd get their answers. I'd just listen to them. And then God would give me stuff and I'd give it to them. And then they'd leave. Well, finally, this girl who said she was a Christian was living with this Japanese guy. They were living together. And she came to me and said, I want him to know Jesus. And I thought, it'd probably be good for both of you to meet Jesus. And so at the right time, which was the last day, I sat there talking to him. And I've taken him through all these scriptures. And he's listening. He's taking it in. He's very bright. He's taking it all in. And then I got through going that way, coming at it, Jesus, from this way. And then God said, come at it from this way. So I come at it from this way. And one of the times when I was talking, all of a sudden, he was like smiling, nodding, and understanding. He'd ask questions. He was really cool to talk to. And then all of a sudden, it hit him. You mean I would have to worship Jesus only? But I worship my dad. I worship my ancestors. I'd have to leave. You're telling me I'd have to leave that. That's an idol. I didn't tell him that at all. God told him that. And when we use the word of God and you hear it, see, you may leave, but when you leave here, God takes His word like seed. And anytime you're listening, that's why I have a hard time when people aren't listening. And they're talking and they're playing around. Because you're not just hurting yourself, you may be hurting somebody else and keeping them from God. And when you leave here, those words you hear are going to go with you. And you could be laying in bed and God's dealing in your heart. And you're laying in bed and you're wondering, what's going on? I don't even know why. I don't know how to explain what's going on. Because God is after you. Because God loves you. And God wants to have a real relationship with you. God's not about filling the building and all of us dressing alike and looking alike. And we all say we're Christians, wear little name tags. It's about, can I borrow that? It's about who, isn't that pretty? Who lives in your car? Who lives inside of you? And then when you get through telling me who lives inside of you, let's ask the people that are closest to you who lives inside of you. Well, Jesus lives inside of me. Well, let's ask your family. Does Jesus talk through you? Does He talk like that? Does Jesus give looks like that? Does Jesus snatch things away from you like that? I'm gonna get y'all some and show you how to do that, okay? I'll help you on one of them. I can't do all of yours, but I'll show you on one of them, okay? So, God's wanting to know, who do you want living in your car? Because if He comes and knocks on your window and you go, I don't want you, He'll say, okay, I'll leave your car here and I'll go deal on somebody else. Because He'll give you a free will. Well, God's dealing in me and saying, Harv, who do you want to live inside of you? I said, well, you, of course. And He said, what about your self-confidence? What about putting confidence in your ability? What about putting confidence in you? Because you've learned so much, you've read so much, you got this inside of you, you put confidence in you. That means I trust in me instead of trusting in Him in areas. Does that honor Him for me to trust in me instead of Him? Does that bring anybody else to Jesus by me trusting in me instead of trusting in Him? So I think it was yesterday when I was out there hunting, and I got a doe, by the way, but while I'm out there hunting, you know, because I don't get to go to the deer supermarket, but so I just get a doe. But you can't eat the horns anyway, but looking forward to getting some horns one day, you know. Maybe I need to go to the auto shop. They have horns over there, you know. Honk, honk, you know. But probably the closest I'm going to get to horns, you know. Anyway, see, you know, just, got to just insert. Just got to say something. You know? So, my point is I'm out there and I say, God, what is all this going on inside of me? And the thought came to me, self-confidence. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be self-confident. Can I just have you ask yourself a couple questions? Look at verse 6 in 1 John 1. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, then what do we do? I'm sorry? What does it say in verse 6? We lie. You're right, but we're going to get to that one. I'm just asking you words. What does the word say? If we say that we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, that means we're not walking in the light. That means we're not walking according to truth. See, people tell me words, and then I ask them questions. Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever been Harveyized? You ever had this happen? I ask you a question and you can't look at me. You don't want to, you know, you feel like I put you on the spot. Have you ever had that happen? Is there anybody who doesn't raise their hand? I just can be amazed. I'm not doing it to hurt you. But if God shows me something about you and I ask you a question, and then you can't answer me. How are you gonna answer God if He asks you that question? What do you think? He's the big granddaddy in the sky and he's just going to wink at your sin. Just, oh, it's okay. Jesus paid for it. Don't worry. We took care of it and it's all okay. You see, Jesus did pay for our sin. All of it. Does that make it okay? It makes it okay with God. Do you have peace in your heart when you sin? How often do you sin? Every day, multiple times a day. How do we get peace with God? We come back to Him and I go, God, I'm sorry. See, I already know I'm going to heaven. And I don't deserve heaven. I already know I'm going because it was a gift from God through the blood of Jesus. But for me to have peace with God, I go to Him and say, God, yesterday, God, is it self-sufficiency? I'm trusting in myself? And He goes, yeah, Har. And I go, Jesus, every sin had to be paid for. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to take what you did. I don't want to take that crown of thorns for granted and just say it was a one-time thing. I want to realize that every sin I do, every sin I feel, every sin I think, every sin comes out of my mouth, every sin had to be paid for. I see Him receiving those lashes. And see, I live in this place to where I want to be sensitive to God. I don't want to be callous about sin. Oh, I sin. It's, you know, yeah, okay, it's under the blood. I don't have to deal with it anymore. There's churches out there that teach that. I run into Christians that teach that. They don't want to hear about it. It tells me, I wonder what Jesus they have. I wonder what God they have. We're under grace. We're not under law. I'm not under law either. Grace is a heavier requirement than law. I want to be close to Jesus. I want Jesus and I to hang out, to know each other intimately. I want to have His peace in my heart. I want to have His blessing on my head. Do you understand? I want to find out where He's going and put my hand in His hand and say, You lead me. Instead of me trying to take Him like a little kid at the toy store, come with me, come with me, and running you all over the place. I'm not trying to get Jesus to do what I want. He died for me. He was beaten for me. Every one of those lashes. I love that movie, The Passion. I don't agree with all of it. Some of it was messed up. But overall, I love that movie. I took a number of people to go see that movie. And anybody that knows me, I don't like going to the movies. Because they don't let me hold the controller. And they make me wait to go potty. I don't like it. But I took people to that movie. And then I bought it. And I loaned it to somebody. I'll probably never see it again. Just like everything else that people get. I don't care. I want to just get people to Jesus. And when they see that, and they see how they rip His clothes from His body, and He's among all these people that hated Him, and they bound God because He let Himself be bound for me. And said, give me what Harvey deserves. And while they're whipping Him, I'm on His mind. And He's thinking, I'm doing this, Harvey, for you because you're self-sufficient. Because you don't know what spirit you're operating in. You operate in a spirit of pride and selfishness and self-sufficiency. And it hurts me for Him. Do you understand? Because I love Him. Because He first loved me. Every day we sin. Look at verse 8. I think it's verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. It's like, I want to honor Him. Not just give lip service. Not live at some low-level Christianity of saying, oh, I love God, now I just go live the way I want, and everything's okay. And no, I want every area of my life to be under the scrutiny of the Word of God. Like a flashlight, He could search my life, any area, all my choices, all my attitudes, all my thoughts. I want them to line up with truth, not just what I say is truth or what I think is truth. I want to come in agreement with truth. Every one of us is a sinner every day. And every one of us every day needs to get on our knees and just tell Him, I'm sorry. When sin comes to your mind that's in your life, Jesus, immediately bring it on the blood. Jesus, I'm sorry that I caused your pain. I'm sorry. Thank you so much you died for me. But I'm sorry that I caused your death. And it was a violent death. Not like they strapped him in an electric chair and zapped him, you know, like a mosquito in the bug zapper. They drug it out. I want to have peace with God. I want to be like Jesus. Now, hear me. I know that's what you want. That's why you're here. Have you ever wondered why God has me say things I do sometimes? Because God is trying to draw you closer. Trying to draw you more so that, can I use your car again? So that when you're driving through the week and you're talking to people about Jesus, you're not representing yourself as the example of Christ. You're telling people, hey, there's hope for you because there's hope for me. Do you know how many people I have heard say to me, I'm talking about drug dealers, pimps, prostitutes, pushers, hitmen, presidents of corporations, policemen that have said to me, God loves you. They're pointing at me. God could forgive you. Man, there's hope for me. Do you understand? But if I stand up and I'm the preacher and I'm wearing my little collar and I'm acting like I'm a holy man and I walk on clouds, if we're walking around in our pride, we're not about rescuing other people. We're about exalting flesh, self. And the reason that we deal with pride is because we're not dealing with sin. We're not honest. Do you hear me? Back in Luke 9, and I believe it's verse 55. Jesus said, this is the key. You know not what spirit you are of. God, what spirit is living in me? What spirit is living in my life? Who is riding in my car? Who's driving my car? Thank you. I needed help. Yeah. Sometimes he's just writing. No. That's okay. Thank you. There's a reason he had me use this one. Who's driving your car when you were just talking to somebody on the way here? Who's driving your car when somebody does something bad to you, and you want to say all kinds of bad stuff to them? Who's driving your car when the bad stuff comes out? Is it God or is it the enemy? And he's your enemy because he hates you. And when all that stuff comes out of you, you need to ask God, Jesus, to come and pour his blood over your heart and make your heart clean again. Because the devil wants us to live dirty. Yes? Remember I got up a few weeks ago and said something like, I'm sorry God didn't give you a better leader or something. That's why. Because God's dealing in me all the time. Whatever I say to you, do you think I haven't said to me? Because wherever you live, I want to live beyond that. Sorry, everything I've ever done, I want to go beyond what everybody else does. Have you ever prayed? I'll just give you an idea. Have you ever prayed and said, God, I want to live closer to you than any person ever born? And God says, in order for you to live closer to me than any person ever born, you have to see more of your sin, because more of your sin has to be removed. That means you have to see it to confess it. Are you willing to do that, Harv? Yes, God. Have you ever embraced brokenness? God, I'm willing to be broken. Have you ever done that? Okay. Well, here's what I pray. Just prayed it yesterday. God, I not only embrace brokenness, I embrace crushing. I embrace being reduced to nothing. And He says, Harv, then your self-sufficiency's got to go. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't understand what I'm going through. I can't explain it. You people come to me, and I could just like, it's so easy. I see what's going on with you. It's like I ask God, it's like it's so easy. But for me, isn't it that way for you? Isn't it hard to see your own stuff? It's easy to see with other people, isn't it? You can sure see what's wrong with everybody else, right? But it's hard to see our own selves. We don't even want to look in the mirror. And when we do, we're doing this. Because it's all about us. But when we look in the mirror of God's Word, we start seeing stuff that doesn't make us look so pretty. Makes Him look pretty. But that's who it's about, isn't it? Anybody have anything to say? Questions? I know, but I can't do it in the middle when I'm talking. Anybody have anything to say? Comments? You know what Sue said this? Do you know what my wife said this week to God? She said, God, I'm so tired of mixture. She goes, God, I'm so tired of mixture. I want to be just like you. I want to be... He said, that means you want to be perfect? And she said, yeah. And He said, not while you're robed in this flesh. He said, you're going to be mixture. Flesh and spirit. He said, I didn't create you an angel. I created you as a person. He said, if you were an angel, I couldn't work through you to reach people the way I do. Because they just worship you. Don't people worship angels? And see, that's because they don't know God. Every time you find somebody worshiping an angel, it's because they don't know God. I don't care what words come out of their mouth. They don't know God. Find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You'll see an angel appeared to a man. And he fell down before the angel and said, what is it, Lord? He didn't know God from an angel. Angels are messengers. They're not God. And just because God may give you an opportunity to see an angelic being doesn't mean that's God. Because no man has seen God and lived. Anybody got anything else? I want us to pray. Whenever people come here and you hear needs or you see needs or God shows you things, pray for other people. Like we pray for little Emelina. We pray for this, our Bosnian friends. We pray for Tom who just came here today. We pray for Cecil, you know, not feeling good. Let's lift one another up. It's a form of ministry. It's really being like Jesus. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's ask God. Let's just make ourselves available. And if they don't come to your mind, don't worry about it. But if they come to your mind, allow God to love them, pray for them, or do whatever He wants to do through you. Brother Steve, I said, I didn't get my buck. I said, because I didn't, you know, probably because I didn't obey and, you know, do the thing that God told me to do. So Steve walks up and says, Father says he's so pleased with you. And he said, here's your buck. See, I don't get to go to the deer supermarket. I just get a buck. Okay? But that was cool. That was God. I want you to remember something. I love you. I believe in you. I'm not going to give up on you. Even when you give up on yourselves, or even if you give up on us. There's people that come back here. There's one guy that's been coming back here. He'll leave here. And he won't come because he's mad at me for a while. It's usually me. And he won't come for a few months, and then he'll come back. He's been doing it for 10 years. And he'll do everything he can to stay away from here because he doesn't like me at all. But God wants him here. And every time he comes back, he acts like I did something wrong and like everything's all okay. And I just keep loving him and have done that for 10 years. How do you think both the hitmen got saved? Because when they said their words and gave their looks, and made it clear they wanted to murder me, which they had done professionally. I just told them, I'm here for you and I love you. And if you kill me, I'm going to love you while you're killing me. And so both of them ended up meeting Jesus. Crying like little babies. It was so cool. God, fill me with your love. Because I need your love to flow through me. I want to have you as my God. You is what's number one in my life. And then I want to have your heart, and your heart is always about others. It's not about self. If I find myself thinking about self, I got the wrong God. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Jesus, I want you to bless each one, each family. I ask for your protection. I ask for your health in their lives. I ask for you to just speak healing into their hearts, into their souls, into their spirits. I ask that they would see you coming alongside and picking up their burdens and saying, will you let me carry them for you instead of you trying to carry them? Would they just find you so close and just trust in you? And I want you to bless each one. Just miraculously, Father. I want you to bless each one in this place with your love and your presence. And that they could just see you so close, face to face. Thank you, Father. We love you. Amen.